glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 40. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Oh, powerful and inspired words, as penned by Matthew, one of the Lord Jesus' disciples. Well, listening friend, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 9th, 2013. Certainly a passage that we could think about all day long. And someone that's thought about it, considered it, weighed it, and put it into practice is Glenn Clark, singer, songwriter, event coordinator, teacher, faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, married to Linda, and presenting music throughout this country with his 8 children. You're going to hear more about that story in just a moment. This, along with yesterday's program, is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Knowing that all of you that were tuned in yesterday are back for part 2, and we'll pick up right where we left off. For those of you that missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, as I mentioned. This past Friday, I met Glenn and his family at the Audio Feed Music Fest. It was the first ever gathering at the Champaign County Fairgrounds. In light of the fact that Cornerstone Festival ended last year, some local people said, let's bring it to the greater Champaign-Urbana area. And if you tuned in last week on the Monday and Tuesday edition, you heard from Jim and Jennifer Eisenmenger, and you heard all about their story, testimony, and their passion behind bringing Audio Feed Music Fest to our area. So quickly back to Glenn Clark's story. I handed him a microphone last Friday as we were standing outside the acoustic tent. I asked Glenn to tell some of his story. He was far from God, caught up in promoting heavy metal groups, as he described it, extending darkness to thousands of youth in Florida. God got a hold of his life. A transformation work began. He wrote a song which put him up for a Dove Award. CCM signed him. Things were going well, but he wanted to put on free concerts, minister to the poor, the impoverished, the hurting, and we'll pick up there. Here's Glenn Clark.
For 6 months, I was there in all the stuff, and I realized that I would die there. They had a problem with me going to drug rehabs and doing free concerts and going to rescue missions and doing it for free or for $100 and me wanting to stay an independent so I could go wherever God led me. They didn't understand that. And so my contracts came up and I said, I can't do this anymore. And they gave me new contracts. They were even better. 3 new sets of contracts, incredible contracts. And I said, I can't. I got to follow Jesus. I'm sorry, guys. And, you know, because I couldn't understand why this was the Christian music industry, but it was more about industry and business than it was Jesus. And why they couldn't understand, I had to be about Jesus and his business. So I left Nashville, which seemed stupid through 20 years of, sometimes seemed stupid because I went to the poorest people I could find. But that's what it took for God to make me who I was. And then through this process, my son, Bo, okay, let me tell you this. When Bo was 13 years old, they had to do another one of these surgeries. And so Bo was the severely handicapped child, and they had to do another surgery on him when he was 13 years old. This time they prepared us. By this time I'm in full-time ministry. We don't have anything. You know, I've given everything away, sold everything, gave it away, and just traveling around the country going to the poor. And they said this surgery, he may not make it through. It was going to be a 13-hour surgery. And if he did, he was going to have 3 months of recovery time. We'd have to sit perfectly still, and they would feed him with a syringe. syringe, and we would have to for 3 months, and we really need to give him something to look forward to. And I prayed and prayed and didn't know what to do. And what they were doing is they were putting a halo, aluminum halo, mounted 5 bolts on one side of his head, 4 on the other, aluminum halo around the front of his face, stainless steel beam down the front of that, and then a piece of hardware that had 4 cables, one into each side of his nostril, one into each side of his upper palate. Then they would take and peel the skin down and break the bone at the base of the brain. We have to leave everything connected or they'll die. So then they sew him back up, but everything's disconnected inside. And what we would do is we would screw his face forward twice a day. We'd pull his face forward till it got out 1.5 inches. This was a major deal, and we didn't know what to do. And I prayed and I said, God, what is he? The doctor said, give me something to look forward to. It's Christmas time. We bought a Casio keyboard, cheap little keyboard. That was the family Christmas present. No idea what this would do. Bo taught himself to play that keyboard, taught himself to play my songs. You didn't just hear a whole family play, but usually my other daughter's playing keyboard too. Taught her to play keyboard, taught her my songs, and then all my family, he taught them to play instruments so that they could play behind me when I did a concert so he could sing harmony with his daddy. Now, this is not even supposed to be possible to begin with, to sing harmony. He's not even supposed to be able to talk. We saw therapists 5 days a week for 5 years because he didn't have ears. They were solid mass, but they knew that someday the technology would catch up and they'd be able to do some surgeries and he'd be able to hear certain things. So they taught him to, he could maybe mouth a few words, okay? I was there. I witnessed this. It's an amazing thing happened, and he wore a bone oscillator. It just vibrated his skull, and he learned to interpret those vibrations. Well, here he is, 13 years old, miraculously playing a keyboard. Never had a lesson in his life. You just heard him play the djembe up there. He's a world-class djembe player. He plays with all these bands, all these people. He's an incredible djembe player. He just knows how to do it. Any instrument he touches, he can play. And it's an amazing miracle. But at 13 years old, he built this band that in 4 months, they had to do the surgery in April. In 4 months, they did this surgery. And we got to play our first concert together, them playing behind me right before his surgery to give him something to look forward to. He's 26 now. That was 13 years ago, so 99, 2000. And so they've been playing music with me. Of course, I'm not going to argue with God on that. I said, well, okay, you gave me a band. I'm not going to question it. All right, they want to play. It was such a miraculous thing. I'm like, there's no way I would ever touch this. And so I started playing with a bunch of kids. You know, I'd been this... Anyway, I used to play with my old guitar player now opens for a group called Pink Floyd or Roger Waters. That's the kind of caliber of musicians I always played with. So here I am now playing with some kids, crying almost every time we play because God is so good, and that I would let go of everything and just follow him and do that, play with these kids. I'm amazed because you just heard two of my children play. They've all become, in the last 13 years of them playing with me, now they're in their adult years. My daughter Danielle, you just heard play, 30 years old. You heard her play a song that came out of Sturgis, South Dakota, reaching out to bikers, and her reaching out to a 16-year-old prostitute girl that she didn't want to reach out to. And that song came out of it. And my son, you heard play, who has seen it all. He's ran stage for us, ran the PA since he was a little boy. I mean, they grew up in the front lines in ministry, and so they've all decided, or God has led them. They're all writers in their own right. And then my other daughter, which played with us last night, she's writing now, and Bo arranges and produces and writes music for other people. And he's got one of his surgeries, he had discovered GarageBand. And they did a surgery where he's going to have 3 more months recovery time. And so he says, said to his grandmother that if she could get him, like, tell everybody instead of sending flowers. And he told me, Daddy, if you could tell everybody on our email list, if they can, instead of send flowers and stuff, if they could, like, pitch in and get me, like, a Macintosh laptop, he says, because I really think I'm supposed to do this GarageBand thing. So the record company, the head of the record company said, get him Logic Pro, get him something a little more professional than GarageBand. We did, and somebody just sent him a laptop, and they heard the story. And Bo, in his recovery time, 3 month recovery time, he did over 100 songs and became this techno artist, Bojo Techno on the internet. Of course, he might not want me telling people about that, but he really got into this stuff, and we don't know how he does it. I mean, God just gives it to him. It's there. And but anyway, that was, so they're all, I guess the point of that was, by following God and being obedient to Him and doing it His way, I could have never planned this, from going to the homeless and the poorest people in the country, that I would now be, you know, 55 years old and still playing music festivals, and all my children playing music and writing music. And if you'd have seen last night, my 10-year-old girls wanting to play bass, and she's up there playing bass, and my other girls playing banjo and mandolin and guitar and just any instrument they touch pretty much. And this all came out of just obedience, just following God. And might not mean anything to anybody. I'm not, you know, he's like bragging on his kids. No, I'm bragging on God, and I am amazed at this, in following Him and being obedient, what He'll do and what He can do and what He did with us. I mean, I'm not an obedient person. I was never that. But I learned that obedience was the key. And by being obedient to Him, you know, I couldn't raise 8 kids and figure out how to do any of it right. And now I'm amazed, because by being obedient to Him and taking them with me on the road and to doing all this outreach ministry, people told me it's crazy. It's going to mess them up and all this. And sure, they've had their tough times like everybody else, but I am so blown away that God has made them into actual, they're not trying to be superstars. They're really trying to use their music now for ministry. So that's my story.
The road of following God, not always easy, but the best way. I'm going to play a portion of a song called The Rain. The Clark family children are playing the instruments. The prominent female voice is Danielle, a little cutie, and you'll hear some of her story in a few minutes. But I asked Glenn to share some of his love story and how he met Linda, so that'll come up in just a minute.
Well, I spent my life chasing rainbows and dreams and things that don't ever come, they just get in the way. Squandered my time so selfishly, and then regretted all the days spent digging just to see. Prayed for rain to wash all the dirt from my eyes. Storms will come, lies will go, rain keeps rolling down my face. Father, rain. I've been watching my garden grow for all these years, and now it's time for some fruit to appear. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
for the rain. For the rain. I just want to thank you, Lord.
So, Mark, you ask about Linda, and I don't usually share this publicly, because I was out there. I was so hurt and devastated after my divorce, and I was a musician, and I had a friend that had a building company. He was a general contractor, and so I never really had as a day job. I just kind of hung out with him and ran errands for him. And my wife Linda, I met her there. She was working for an electrician plumber in the houses we were doing, and so I would come and I would check on her jobs often and just see how she was doing. But the real connection was, I don't know how to explain it, except one day we were having a conversation. We were both way out there. We were not where we needed to be. Hurt, devastated. I was at a really bad place, a rock and roller, you know, doing everything involved in rock and roll. But when I met her, we had had a conversation one day in the worst possible time and place we could have, but we had this conversation, and it was about Jesus. And no one would have ever, as messed up as I was, as rock and roller as I was, whereas nobody would try to talk to me about Jesus. And I wouldn't talk to a young lady about Jesus, okay, where I was at, because that's not what I had in mind with them at that time. But because we talked about Jesus and we knew we were both Christians and honestly said, but we're not where we need to be, somehow, through that, as far out there as we were, we just kept hanging out together. I know this is crazy, but this is the truth. You don't have to air it if you don't want to, but as far out there as we were, we somehow knew that Jesus was still the only thing that really mattered. And somehow that kept us together through a lot of really crazy, crazy bad years. Like I said, clubs. I mean, these weren't just clubs. This was darkness clubs, all that. She was there with me through all those times, and I don't know why she stayed or why she hung out with me, because it was a crazy world we lived in. But she did, and I did. And then when the Lord got a hold of me and got a hold of me hard, as I just shared the story, she just kind of watched me for about a year and a half. You know, is this real? Is this going to stick? And I think when she saw that it was so serious, I was so serious about God and going with Him, then it really, probably for the first time in her life, she began to really trust me, and even though we've been together for years.
Wow. Thank you, God, for the power of testimony, the redemptive work that you can do in all of our lives as we surrender and submit to you. As you are perfect, as you are holy, as you are righteous, as you are loving, as you are merciful, we thank you, God, for being a good God. Here's another short portion of a song, You Are So Good to Me, by Glenn Clark and the family, followed by a pro-life decision that'll surely touch your heart.
Oh, Lord, I want to hear. Oh, Lord, I want to see. Oh, Lord, I want to be in your will. In your will.
Share this publicly, but what happened was, the only reason we got married, to be honest with you, is as my wife cried, we were at the abortion clinic, and she cried, and she came back outside, and I said, what is it? And she says, well, the doctor said this will be my third abortion, and if I have it, that I won't be able to have any more kids. I said, so what's the problem? And she just cried. And I didn't want her to cry, so I'm like, stop crying. What is it? And she says, well, and she, it took her a while. And finally she says, well, because I want to have children. I said, oh, well, don't get the abortion. She looked at me, and I said, just don't get it. She says, well, but that would mean we would, I says, whatever. You know, we'll do whatever we got to do. You know. So, I do not usually share this story. But the reality is, as far out there as I was, far out there as she was, God had a plan. And He knew where He'd be taking us. So, I stayed with her. I married her only because she was pregnant and she didn't want to have another abortion. And that was the only way she could really see doing it. And, and I wanted her to stop crying, and I wanted her to, I must have cared a little bit, you know, something, as messed up as I was, far out there as I was. God knew and understood, even when I wasn't capable and of seeing or looking to the future or whatever, our connecting point was, had been Jesus a few years earlier, and now I just didn't want her to cry, and if she wanted to have children, who was I to stop that because she was having an abortion because I got her pregnant, you know? And it was just, I didn't think it through. I just wanted her to stop crying. And if she wanted to have children, I didn't want to be the one to stop that. Now, I can't even imagine. You know, I went from this guy that wasn't going to have any children, ever, to, you know, try to take one of them away from me. And I just feel really bad that I ever stopped any children from coming into the world. I only have 8. I should have 13 or 16, you know, if I'd have kept my hands out of it. But after Danielle was born, and we had got married, and so we stayed together, and it was 5 years that we were running the I was running the club and doing the music thing, rock and roll and all that. She was raised sleeping on a couch in the bar in the Ritz Theater, and which is amazing to me that I would ever do something like that. But you just heard her play music. God's honored us coming to Him and doing it His way, because she didn't have to end up here. She should have ended up in a whole other place, and it's God's grace and mercy. After Bo was born, one night, me and God were talking, and it was at the time of conception of my son, my next son, Joshua. I said, God, the doctor said, no more children, no more babies, because it's a genetic disorder, and it will probably happen again like it did with Bo. And I was praying, and I know God, as clear as day, said, you said you would be obedient. Whatever I ask, I want your whole life. I want this part of your life, too. I want to be in control here. This was a very foreign concept to me. I'd never thought of anything like this before. And I said, Lord, I'm not supposed to do this. Doctor said it's a big mistake, but I trust you. And 9 months later, my son Joshua was born. And then they just kept coming after that, and trusting God. And I'm just amazed at where God took me from and what He did in my heart to then now have all these children and wish I would have had more. So I don't know why I'm sharing this. I don't usually share it publicly, but there you go.
Well, if you're like me, you're probably wiping a few tears away. That was Glenn Clark sharing some of his life story. And yesterday and today's broadcast is archived at greatnewsradio.org if you want to pass it on to a friend or listen to it again. What a God-honoring story. And none of us are outside of God's redemptive plan and work. Please be praying up Glenn Clark and his family as they minister throughout our country. And you can find out more at glennclark.net, glennclark.net. Let me close out with a few of Glenn and Linda's younger children as we praise God for life and we all desire to walk in His ways this very day. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Man, devil couldn't doubt it. He surely loved the Savior.